Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today's episode, along with all episodes, is brought to you by Provenance Wealth Advisors, financial planning and investment firm headquartered in South Florida. With year-end fast approaching, we're about to see two things. First, we are about to gather with friends and family, and we'll see many presents exchanged. Let's hope those gatherings are friendly and smooth and not too much politics is discussed. But second, it is that time of year where we'll start to see 2024 guesses, or as many like to call them, predictions for asset class returns. While both may seem fun, I only think one of them really matters. Any guesses on which one that is, Joe?
Well, Shane, I think that depends on who you are and who you ask. But since we are a personal finance podcast, I'm going to go with the latter. These are questions that we often get. And when you think about how quickly the world can change, it can be easy to see why these projections over a 365-day timeframe can be challenging. Nonetheless, they are helpful. They help you frame decisions. And there are some easy rules of thumbs to consider. So we thought it'd be a good idea to have a podcast on this.
So our world runs on an annual calendar, and everyone wants to know what the market will do next year. S&P 5500, NASDAQ 20,000, 10-year U.S. Treasury at 4.96%, inflation down to 2%. And while all these discussions do matter, the actual prediction of something as short-term such as a year is very difficult or even impossible, which is why we frequently talk about long-term expectations.
But we get this question all the time, and our guess is as good as anyone else's. Do we think the market will go up next year? The answer is yes, and that's for a number of reasons, but a big one is that over the last 50 years, and assuming we have a positive return for this year, 2023, the market has been up 38 times or 76% of the time. So we are gambling men, we would say, we'll play the odds here.
What if the market is down next year? Well, then I would safely assume that we would expect for it to be up again in 2025, again, because 76% of the time the market has gone up.
Again, these are just long-term odds, Shane, so I certainly agree. But what about interest rates? What is our prediction for interest rates? And again, our guess here is as good as any, but again, it is a guess. Our expectation is that short-term interest rates will be lower a year from now. The question is, why is that? It's because the Fed, who controls the rate, has essentially said it would be lower a year from now based upon their most recent dot plot, which is a projection of future interest rates.
And with that, I will be in agreement as well.
Thank you, Shane. But the next question is, most likely from an investment perspective, what the heck are you guys doing if you expect the market to be up every year and you are just following the Fed's expectations?
And that is an excellent question. And the answer is, we are doing what we always do. And that is most likely one of three things. And all three go back to time frames in some sort of way. First, if you're a 100% stock investor, you likely have a very long time frame. And we are looking into where we get the best risk return profile from different types of stocks: large, mid, small, growth, value, blend.
U.S. or international, developed or emerging. And this is the case for investors who own bonds as well. For that part of their portfolio where they do own stocks, we ask ourselves these same questions. But how do we come to which is the best to invest in right now?
And this comes from a combination of areas: valuations, which we have discussed many times, earnings and revenue growth from the different styles and sectors of the market, the potential volatilities of these different areas, expectations for economic growth. These are all things that go into consideration for the portfolio.
Once we come up with this, we still want to manage the portfolio to our clients' goals, objectives, and expectations. So even if we think emerging market stocks will be the best performer 10 years from now, we won't be investing everything in emerging markets. We will invest a part of the portfolio, but the volatility that comes from an asset class like emerging markets is usually too much for most of the clients to handle on an ongoing basis. So we want to be aggressive for our stock clients and our stock portions of the portfolio. We also want to invest in a portfolio they won't panic about and sell everything early before that theme comes to fruition.
And we do the same thing for bonds. If you own bonds, which likely means you have a lower risk tolerance or shorter time frame, which types of bonds? Money markets, treasuries, corporates, high yield, convertibles, U.S. or international, all different types to consider.
And then based on the sectors we like, we also need to come up with a duration of those bonds. Do we like super short-term bonds that are liquid? Then the money market makes a lot of sense. Do we want to lock in current yields for a long time and are willing to take a little bit of risk? Then 5, 10, or even 20-year investment-grade corporate bonds may be fit.
And the third thing we are discussing right now with clients is how much stocks and bonds each of them should own. So as we all know, bond rates have increased substantially over the last 20-plus months. If an investor needed or wanted to earn 6% 20 months ago, they needed to take the risk of the stock market. But now, with increase in yields, they no longer must take that risk, or maybe not as much as they needed to back then.
I frequently use a table for establishing how to achieve returns at different asset allocations and different, and I'll emphasize this, long-term return expectations. So what does this mean? Let's assume we're 20 months ago and long-term return expectations for bonds or fixed incomes is 3%, and stocks we'll say is 8% because that's a little bit lower than long-term averages, but nonetheless a good rate to consider. And we have a total return for the portfolio of 6%, both of our stocks and bonds on average. We would have to invest in a portfolio of 60% stocks and 40% bonds to get to that 6% total return target. With that comes 60% of the volatility of stocks and only 40% of the volatility with bonds. But let's fast forward to today where interest rates have increased, and we assume that same 8% of return for stocks, but now we have 5% with bonds because interest rates have risen. Now we only need to have about a 40% stock portfolio and 60% bonds. And thus, we only have the volatility of those two or that ratio, which brings down the overall volatility of the portfolio. Depending upon the client's goals and objectives, this may make a lot of sense at this stage in their life.
And we modify client allocations based upon expected returns, like Joe just said. We also change them based upon time frames, such as closer to retirement, and also individual risk tolerance. We have many clients that, while they may be able to handle more risk based upon their time frames, are just more comfortable owning bonds because of the recently increased return expectations.
And adding some bonds to a portfolio will lower volatility and maybe will help that client stay invested in stocks even when the markets are volatile.
So to recap today's episode, annual predictions are very, very hard to do, even if they are fun to read. We focus on what really matters, our clients and the portfolio that fits their needs and their risk tolerances. The big jump up in yields has made the option of decreasing volatility a real option for the first time in a while and not having to give up too much expected returns. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please email us at podcast@provwealth.com or check out our website, relatablefinancepodcast.com.
Securities are offered through PWA Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecast will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but PWA or PWA Securities does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy. Selected diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Vesting involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Provenance Wealth Advisors or PWA Securities do not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professionals. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.